Good afternoon. Welcome to our Christmas Eve candlelight service. And I guess I should say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Glad you're all with us this afternoon. Evening, I guess we could call it. Certainly will probably by the time we're done. But this is always, of course, a very special service with all the candles lit and the lights on and everything. Christmas definitely in full bloom, so to speak. But glad you're all with us. Lots of good Christmas hymns that we'll get to sing here, and we'll have a couple, you guys didn't, I don't think you got in the bulletin, did you, but we'll have some special music with Sheila and Jim, so thanks to them for singing, especially with the cantata barely over, you know, we're putting you right back into duty there, so, but we're glad for that gift of music, so. Other than that, we'll kind of just keep the announcements short and sweet, I think. Obviously, you guys don't probably need to bother coming to the 5 o'clock service tonight, but, you know, if you had any family members that, I don't know, were taking a nap right now or whatever, they can certainly come to the 5. And then tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., we will have a Christmas Day service and a potluck afterwards. Otherwise, I guess the only thing to keep in mind at this point is that in terms of our weekly Sunday services, they will now be moving to only one service at 9 a.m. on Sundays, and that'll probably be for probably up until Easter, and then we'll switch probably on Easter Sunday. So it'll at least be a few months anyway. And then we also have picture directories. We have fundraising calendars with some Bethesda photos and some historical information and whatnot. And I think that, along with some fundraising sweatshirts, are still out in the fellowship hall. So. And thanks again also for those that donated in honor of the poinsettias. I always love our poinsettia tree here, which is not only a lovely way to display poinsettias, but very practical use of our space up front, since we're always kind of jammed for space a little bit here at the front of church. So it's a fun thing to help make our sanctuary more festive. But, anything else we need to offer at this point? All right, then we'll begin with our opening hymn, hymn 283. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory.
O come, let us worship Him.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined.
We have seen the Father's glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
For a child has been born for us, a Son given to us.
What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people.
Christ is born, salvation has appeared.
Glory to God in the highest. Alleluia.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and in the last day wake to the brightness of his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
Our first reading this afternoon is from the prophet Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. The reading begins. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and earth and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is a psalm, Psalm 96. The psalm begins, O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Say to the nations, the Lord is king. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. And now please rise for the reading of the gospel. And our gospel is the gospel of Luke, the second chapter beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. You may be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Well, once again, Merry Christmas. I'm so glad we're able to spend this time of joy and wonder and celebration with one another. Easter, of course, is fine. It's a good holiday, too. You know, pretty important in the Christian calendar. Pretty important to what it means to be a Christian, actually. But as much as it offers, of course, a time, an additional time to celebrate and give thanks, there's always that unpleasant business with the whole execution, which kind of puts a damper on the celebration a little bit. But Christmas, man, it's hard not to get behind Christmas full steam ahead, isn't it? It's the birth of a child, and that's usually a moment of just pure joy. No trial scenes, no confused people coming to an empty tomb. Christmas has stars and heavenly choirs of angels, exotic travelers bringing some really choice, high-shelf gifts, you know. It's a good time. It's hard not to love Christmas, the color and the lights and everything. Of course, it's not as if everything went completely smoothly that first Christmas. I read a reflection this week from a pastor, Katie Hines Shaw, a pastor in Illinois, and she offered these choice words in her reflection. The first Christmas was a disaster. She notes that in our gospel reading, of course, you know, the angel speaks of great joy for all people. However, when you actually think of what it was like for the parents, right, it wasn't exactly a smooth sort of Christmas. We all know this. It's part of the story. They go to the inn, but they find a nice, comfy manger. But she sort of reminded us, well, you know, if you're actually a pregnant woman, right, one, first of all, traveling is not, you know, 9 months pregnant is not a great time to travel, right? And if the mothers in the congregation don't know this, certainly the fathers do, right? You know, as they're accompanying their wives in this time of their lives. Certainly a time of great joy, but certainly a time of stress and nervousness, a little bit of chaos besides. And that was certainly the case with Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph, this unwed mother, engaged, but not quite there yet. This baby that there's been this great news, but still, of course, pregnancy brings with it its challenges, too. And now here they are traveling so they can do the honor of paying the, you know, of filling out the Roman census, and so they can pay even more in taxes. And then, of course, now it comes time to have the child besides this chaos and exhaustion. It's messy and it's stressful. It's less glory and wonder and joy and happiness. It's more like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, right? You know, it's just everything going wrong in every possible way. It reminds me of all the misadventures that so many of us have, you know, when it comes to family and travel and the like. Some of my own family is visiting with me this Christmas, and I was thinking of one of our trips. I think, I can't remember where we were going. It might have been going out to college, but it was one of the times we were driving through Chicago, and the AAA guidebook had said that it was a nice budget hotel, but, you know, a nice accommodation. But, of course, this was in the era before smartphones where you could update things to the minute. And so the whole budget but nice was half right, right? It was budget, but it was not nice, right? They're in the middle of converting it into like a senior living center or something. I think my parents in their room heard little feet prancing above them, and it wasn't reindeer, right? You know? And we went across the street to the Denny's, and my brother, who was fairly young at that point, ordered a hamburger, and it was like a deep-fried leather coaster is what came out. And I'm just grateful that at no point in my life has my stepmother ever looked at me with the kind of disgust and disappointment that she looked at it with that hamburger. It was just the saddest thing you had ever possibly seen. You know, this is how family vacations go, don't they? All of us have tons of these stories that are super funny in hindsight, but not in the moment, right? And of course, there's plenty of other stories, too, we might have that aren't even really funny in hindsight, right? When things have fallen apart, when things are stressful, and we maybe just all make a common agreement to never mention them again. You know, this is the way our lives so often work. Even when there are these times when we should be joyous that things don't quite work out the way we had planned. And hopefully we might find some joy in that, but That is the challenge of our lives. And of course, this is the way the first Christmas worked as well. That should give us a little bit of comfort. In the midst of this messy, chaotic Christmas, that this is how Jesus came into the world. In fact, it's just that kind of world that is the reason why Christ came into the world. Into the mess and chaos of our lives comes hope and wonder and joy. I was thinking of another travel story from my life as well this week, except this one was a solo adventure. Back when I was in seminary studying to be a pastor, I went on a trip to Europe for a few weeks. And for part of it, I spent with a friend who was studying in Germany at that point. But for about a week or two, I traveled around with one of those handy-dandy rail passes, which are definitely handy, but definitely would also cause a little bit of stress, too. But one of my favorite memories from that trip was when I went to Munich. Now, it started as one of those days where you're just traveling far too much, trying to pack too much in. But I get into Munich in the evening. My cheap little hotel is not that far from the train station, so I quickly settle in. But I really hadn't eaten anything or had time to eat anything for most of the day. So I quickly just dump my bag, headed out into the streets to kind of check out the city, see if I can find some restaurants. So I kind of walk a little bit, and I notice a little Middle Eastern restaurant. I notice a good German restaurant, and I kind of, file away all these little mental bookmarks of places I could check back on the way back. But as I kind of got farther into the city center, I stumbled across the Munich Film Museum. And I'm a movie lover, and it's always a struggle not to mention a movie in every single sermon I do. But it seemed like it would be this moment for this perfect German experience. Not just because it was a movie, but it was a Marlene Dietrich movie. So at the film museum, they're showing this movie of, 1930s, one of the greatest stars out of Germany. And to top it off, it was a movie of hers in English. So my perfect German experience wasn't going to be ruined by the German language, So it was The Scarlet Empress. It was Marlene Dietrich as Catherine the Great of Russia. But one thing I unfortunately discovered was that the film museum, being a film museum and not a movie theater, they didn't really have a snack stand. So after this movie is all done with, my stomach was, sort of imploding upon itself. I was really lucky it didn't let out too many loud groans during the movie and have everybody looking at me. And of course, by the time the movie was over, most of the restaurants were closed. So I managed to make my way back to this little hole-in-the-wall Middle Eastern restaurant that I had first noticed on my walk in Munich. And at that point, I wasn't super familiar with the cuisine, but there looked like this one dish. It looked delicious. It's called moussaka. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it. It's kind of like a Middle Eastern, it's like a hot dish, kind of a lasagna, but without noodles. It has eggplant and ground meat and a white sauce on it. But it was hot, and it was available, and I thought, what the heck, I'll give it a shot. So bring it back to the hotel room. And to paint you a picture, if you ever traveled budget, especially if you know that kind of college age, this is not the world's fanciest hotel room. It's a bed, a desk, a window, no television. And I was also there in the middle of a heat wave. So this food is steaming, and I'm steaming, and I'm sweating. And I quickly discover, as I'm ready to tear into my feast, that I didn't manage to grab any utensils. But I came up with an idea. But the first step of this plan was going to require me to turn off the lights. So, as I said, it's steaming. I am sweating. I'm soaked, I'm in my shorts and t-shirt. And I'm like, I do not want anyone to see what's going to come next, I want that window open so I can get as much air in there as possible. But I do not want anyone in the poor street or across the building seeing this sweaty American tear into his moussaka using the two pieces of bread that came with it to just shovel food into his mouth because he is so hungry. So, this is the thing. Messy, chaotic, stressful, not particularly pretty. Yes, indeed, that was my experience. But by God, it was glorious, right? God in the midst of the messy and the chaotic and the stressful and the less than perfectly beautiful, there was glory and wonder to be held in that moussaka. Nothing has ever tasted so good when you haven't eaten in quite a long time. And so maybe that isn't the particular image you want to have pop in your heads from now on of the spirit of Christmas or how God works in our lives. But I do believe that's kind of how God's love comes to us. God's love seeks us out in that messy, chaotic, stress-filled world and lives that we live in. And even in our most exhausted and famished moments of our lives, joy and wonder appears. That is the promise of Jesus Christ. And sure, sometimes joy and wonder comes in gold and red and green, in beautiful lights, music of brass instruments and sleigh bells, in the voices of angels or of the Bethesda choir. Sometimes that's how God works. That's how God sends God's love. But sometimes it comes in sort of other ways, that the ways of God comes that fulfills our hunger in all kinds of creative ways. Because even sometimes if we have enough to eat, if we're that blessed, if we're that fortunate, usually there's some way that we hunger, some desperate longing in our lives, something we hope for more than anything else, for better health, for love and friendship, for families that are a little bit more stable and a little less chaotic. Maybe we're praying for a job, or maybe we're praying for more energy, more time to do the things that we love, that we can spend that energy. Maybe we're praying and desperate for a life free from doubts and fears and worries. And so when our stomachs and our hearts groan and growl, we have this promise that God hears it, that God responds. The coming of Christ is the coming of hope. God in our world, God in our midst, God alive in the same flesh and blood as us. A God whose stomach also gurgled and growled, whether metaphorically or very literally. And so that God, Jesus Christ, can ensure more than ever before that our hungry minds and hearts and stomachs might be satisfied. Because that God knows what it's like. So let us truly give thanks this Christmas, not because God knows how to throw a really good party. He kind of leaves that up to us. But because born this day is a God that knows us inside and out, and who is the hope of the world, because he knows that we too often live in a world that feels so hopeless, where our stomachs and our hearts groan and growl. Christ knows us. Knows us in all of our mess, all of our chaos, all of our blessings, and all of our sins. Christ knows us and loves us all the same. And that love brings hope. And that hope gives birth to more love that is meant to stretch out from us into all the many and various messy, chaotic corners of our world. Amen. Thank you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. For the increase of peace among the nations, let us pray to the Lord. Christ the Lord, bring peace on earth. For the spread of the joyful news that the Savior has come, let us pray to the Lord. Christ the Lord, bring joy to the world. For the poor and those who find no room, let us pray to the Lord. Christ the Lord, bring help to the poor. For the renewal of the whole family and unity, let us pray to the Lord.
Christ the Lord, bring renewal to the church.
For the light of Christmas to shine on us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Christ the Lord, bring us the light of your truth.
Good and gracious God, we also lift up the prayers of this community, of all those we are thinking of this day. We especially remember in prayer those who need your healing touch, whether in body, mind, or spirit. We especially remember Denny. We remember Gary Hansen. We remember all the people in Indonesia who are suffering from the tsunami. For all those, O God, who mourn the loss of life, who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. And we also pray for those who are lonely, who are separated from family and friends this holiday season. May your love reach into their lives wherever they are. And now, God, we lift up all those other prayers that are on our hearts and minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. Rejoicing in your birth and trusting in your mercy, O Christ, light of the world, we commend all for whom we pray.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Arise. Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and nations shall come to your light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
became flesh and dwelt among us. Let Christ's light shine in the darkest corner of your life. Let Christ's love shine in the darkest corners of our world. God is with us. Alleluia.
Amen.
Now our closing hymn is hymn 290, Go Tell It on the Mountain.